Be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. You may be seated.
Good morning. It is certainly good to be here today. I hope that you're excited to be here as well. Hope that you have brought your Bibles and are ready to open those up and to begin a study of God's Word together. Certainly appreciate the prayer from Brother Sonny a little while ago. Appreciate the songs led by Brother Jeff. He told me this week, said, if you got any songs that you want me to sing, let me know. And I decided not to, and sometimes that works out better. I would have never thought to have asked for Ring It Out, but what a perfect song to sing before the lesson this morning, to ring out the message. We've been studying on Sunday morning in all of our Bible classes, and then Josh has been doing a lesson along the same lines of text, and we're going to continue that today as we've studied from 1 Corinthians. And this week we were in chapter 4, and the passage that I wanted us to focus on today were verses 1 and 2. I love those two verses. I love the fact that Paul tells the Corinthians one of the things that God is looking for in their lives. I love the fact that we can turn to that same passage and know today one of the things that God is looking for out of us in our lives. And that's for us to be good stewards, to be faithful stewards. And to be able to have some sense of direction, to know if we're headed in the right direction, to know if we're getting off course. What a blessing that is, that we serve a God that loves us and that cares for us enough to tell us how He wants us to go and some things that we are to do in our lives in order to be found pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And so when you think about being a steward of God's Word, I think the first thing we've got to do is come to terms, come to an agreement, if you will, of exactly what is a steward. And so the definition that I choose to work with is someone who has full charge of the things that their master has given them. Someone that has full charge of the things that their master has given them. And the thing about that, when you think about us as Christians, and you think about our master, and who is our master? Well, it would be God, correct? And so you think about the things that God has given us, and it gets a little daunting, doesn't it? When you think about all the many blessings that God bestows upon us. You think about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where we studied from last week, where Paul was challenging the Corinthians to look around and to realize and to see how many blessings that they had received through Christ. He told them that they literally had everything at their disposal. But because of the way that they were acting, and because of the way that they put their focus on who the teacher was instead of what the message was, that they were missing out on so many blessings. And so I want you and I this morning, at least for the course of this lesson, to think about the one thing that we're going to talk about. The one blessing that we've received from God that I want us to focus on being good stewards of. The one thing that the song that we just sang refers to, and that is the message. The message of salvation. So you and I have been given money, we've been given possessions, we've been given a portion of health, we've been given family and friends, and all those things are wonderful blessings, and we need to be good stewards of those things as well. But in order for the kingdom of God to be able to spread, in order for the power of Jesus to save, to be fully engaged, then church, the world has to receive the message. And if the world's going to receive the message, they're either going to have to get it through this book on their own, or they're going to have to be taught by someone. And if you and I have received that message, and if it then becomes a possession of ours, if you will, then we need to make sure that we are good stewards with that possession that we've been blessed with. If we're going to be good stewards, you and I have got to first prepare our hearts. It does us no good to have received this Word of God and to have not prepared our hearts to fully receive it. Over in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And one verse, such a short verse, has four wonderful points. And we could do a whole lesson on those four points. We're not going to. It's not a two-part lesson this morning. You can breathe a sigh of relief. But you could do a whole sermon off of that one verse. The four things that Ezra does, preparing his heart to receive the word, was the first thing. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but over in the book of Matthew and again in Mark, and as a matter of fact, it was in the passages that we were to read this week for the His Word series. And so if you've read from Mark this week, you'll know this parable, the parable of the, and then fill in the blank, some call it the parable of the sower, some call it the parable of the soil. But that sower went out to sow, and as he spread the seed, it fell wherever it might fall. But what if someone had gone before the sower and prepared the soil to receive the seed? You see, church, you and I have the opportunity before we receive the Word to prepare our hearts. You and I need to prepare our own heart. And I hope this morning, and if you haven't, it's not too late, take a moment and do it now. But I hope this morning, and I love what Brother Ronnie did before the Lord's Supper, just take a moment just of silence, just to clear your mind of all the thoughts of the world. I need that moment. Ronnie, it wasn't long enough. I could use a longer moment. There are a lot of things that go through my mind. Anything going through y'all's mind when you get to church that doesn't involve church? Why, sure it is. We're humans. That's the devil trying to work on us. But if we're going to receive the Word, we've got to first prepare our hearts. And we don't mean the blood pump. We mean our mind, don't we? We've got to prepare our mind. How do you prepare your mind to receive the Word of God? Well, you pray about it. You take a moment and get all the other thoughts out of your mind. You take a moment to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Not that the speaker is going to do anything spectacular, especially not this week. Not that the speaker is going to do anything special. Again, that's the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. It's not about the speaker, it's about the message. So take a moment to get rid of the thoughts that you think you already know and to dive into the Word of God and to allow it to change your life. Prepare the soil. You and I, if we're going to be good stewards, we must first prepare our heart to receive the Word. And the Word, what a wonderful blessing it is that we've received. The Word is such a wonderful blessing because, first of all, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 tells us that it saves. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Church, I hope you know our futures. I hope you know our destination if we never receive the Word of God. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. Romans 3 and verse 23 says we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There was a sacrifice that had to be made, a perfect sacrifice, and it was made. Jesus Christ Himself gave His life on that cross for our sins. The power of God to salvation. The Word saves. We must be good stewards of God's Word because of the power that it contains. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow." And the scary part to me, the Hebrews writer says, it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You ever thought about that? That the Word of God can drill us down beyond just what our actions are. We talked about that in our class this morning, in the young adult class, that the Word of God is able to not only judge you off of what your actions are. See, you and I can see the things that I do and can form an opinion about that. I can see the things that you do and can form an opinion about that. But what you don't have the power to do and what I don't have the power to do is to understand or to know the why. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you not do the things that you don't do? What did you intend to do, but you never got around to doing? But the Word of God is able to discern even down to the thoughts and to the intents of the heart. The Bible, if you read it and study it closely, doesn't just tell you how to live, it tells you why to live that way. It doesn't just tell you how you ought to act toward other people. It tells you how you ought to feel toward other people. It doesn't just tell you what to do. It tells you how you ought to do it. The Word of God is powerful. I think number three, you and I must be good stewards of the Word of God because it lights the path to heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We've got one of those arrangements at our house where the children's bedrooms are on one side of the house and our bedroom is on the other side of the house. And sometimes at night, okay, let's be honest, every night, there has to be a journey that's made from one room to the other. And so we decided to do it the way that every parent wants to do it, in the pitch black dark of night. And that works real good till the Legos get left out. Amen. And you go across that living room about 2 in the morning, and last night there was a jet plane and a train car, and not a pretty picture. You know what we found out you can do? It's a novel idea. You can leave a little nightlight on. It's amazing what a little light in that living room at 3 a.m. can change your world to make that journey. Listen, we go through a world that is what, church? Is the world filled with light or is the world filled with darkness? The Bible says darkness. I mean, look around us. Look at the violence taking place in our schools. Look at the violence taking place in our streets. Look at the drugs that find their way into our homes. Look at the debates and the arguments over wanting to be able to produce and to sell more and more alcohol into a community. For what reason? For what purpose? For what good? Why do we want to increase the access to an intoxicating beverage that can only destroy our families? Why would we want to do that? The reason why we would want to do that, the world tells you, is because of the darkness. Because of the darkness that's all around us. Turn on a light. Turn on a nightlight and leave it burning from morning through the middle of the day till night. And the light that you're supposed to turn on, the light that we've been given to illuminate our way all the way to heaven, is the Word of God. Now, you and I have received that Word. You wouldn't be here today in this assembly if you hadn't received the Word of God. So the question today is, what are you doing with it? Are you being a good steward? I was thankful in 2009, 2010. If you remember, the stock market crashed tremendously, didn't it? Could you imagine being a financial advisor during that time? Being an individual that others had placed their money, their retirement, their savings in your hands for you to, as the definition says, be a steward with. To be in control with, to make sure that you protected it and that you did wise and good things with it, and then to watch it crumble. There weren't many that were a success during that time. That's why I love the verses that were read for us this morning. Moreover, it is required in a steward, that's you and I, to be found faithful. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have the best success rate. We don't have to convert every lost soul that we come in contact with. But we do have to be faithful. We do have to be faithful to being an appropriate steward of the Word of God. I think before we can decide how to become a good steward and a faithful steward of the Word of God, we've got to look at some of the individuals the Bible says are bad stewards of the Word of God. We've been given some examples. The first example of a bad steward is one that won't allow the Word to grow in their heart at all. And again, we go back to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, in the parable of the soil. A bad steward is one that won't allow the Word to grow in their heart at all. Every one of you are here this morning for some reason. It goes back to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I don't know why you're here. I hope I know why you're here. I hope it's to praise God and to worship God and to stir one another up for good works and to try to learn more about what it means to be a Christian and to study your Bible and to sing songs of praise. It's what I hope, but I don't know. You've got your own reason. I've got my own reason. But when the Word is proclaimed, and it's not just proclaimed during the preaching of God's Word, it's proclaimed when we sing the songs of praise. Did you know the Lord's Supper? As often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We made a proclamation during that. What is the current condition of your heart, of your mind? Are you like the soil that was along the wayside, and as soon as these words hit your ears, you immediately allow them to be trampled out and taken away? Is your heart, is your mind like the soil that was in the stony places, to where as soon as the soil received the seed, it sprang up and it started to grow, but the heat came down and it dried it up and it killed it. Is your heart, your mind like the soil where there were thorns and bushes and briars? And so the seed hit that soil and it began to grow, but it was choked out. Because if you haven't prepared your heart and your mind to receive the Word of God, you're in no place to be a faithful steward of that Word. Prepare your heart to receive the Word of God so that you can be a good steward. A bad steward, the Bible tells us, will twist the Word for their own purposes. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the Scriptures." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers." We've got to be careful after we've received the Word of God. We've got to be careful after we become a Christian. We've got to be careful after we become an experienced Christian. Again, you go back into 1 Corinthians, I think it was chapter 2, might have been chapter 3, where Paul calls them babes or infants and says that they still need the pure milk instead of being able to move on to the meatier things, to the more complex things. But I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to never reach the point where you've decided that all you need is meat. We always are going to need a little bit of milk. It's never a bad idea to circle back around and to touch back on the very foundation of why we believe what we believe. What we've got to be careful not to do is what these passages in 2 Peter 3 and 2 Timothy 4 warn against. We've got to be careful not to begin to change the Word of God to scratch the ears of those that have itching ears. When the apostles preached the Word of God, more often than not, do you recall what the response of the crowd was? They wanted to put them to death. Our Lord and Savior Himself, when He preached the truth, what was the response? Anger, gnashing at Him with their teeth. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This message is powerful and it can change lives. When you think about a river that goes through its river bed and it moves and it turns and it changes, that river's powerful, isn't it? And over time, it can erode away a bank and it can change the bank, but it can't do that if it's just a small trickle. It's got to be powerful. If you and I are going to be good stewards of God's Word, we can't change the Word. That's unfortunate sometimes, isn't it? Because to preach a message of truth, sometimes it has to lead to confrontation. To preach a message of truth, sometimes it has to lead to someone realizing that they need to make a change. But we've got to be careful not to be bad stewards. The thing you might notice from the parable of the sower is that the man that went out to sow didn't change the seed, did he? He threw the same seed to every type of soil. A bad steward will be tempted to change the seed. In church, we must not change the seed. Letter C, a bad steward is one that might preach the Word, but not with the proper motives. Paul was accused at one point of peddling the gospel because he accepted money for his preaching. There was the case of Simon that became a Christian and he saw the power of the apostles. They were laying on the hands and performing miracles, weren't they? Are y'all listening? They were performing miracles. And he said, "I want to buy that power because I want to help other people become Christians." No, that's not why, was it? He wanted to buy that power. Why? Because he saw dollar signs, didn't he? I can make a fortune. If I've got the power that they've got, man, I could really... Had the wrong motives, didn't he? Paul says, "When I allow you to pay me to preach, you say that I peddle the gospel and I'm just doing it for personal gain. But when I don't allow you to pay me to preach, then you say that the message must be worthless because not even the proclaimer of the message will accept payment for the services that he provides." He was trapped, wasn't he? He couldn't make them happy no matter what he did. What is your motive for preaching Scripture to others? Listen, I can't judge that, can I? I don't know what your motive is. You ever quoted a scripture at somebody? Not to somebody, but at somebody. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Parents, you ever quoted a scripture to your children? Honor your father and mother. Says it right there in the good book. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't worry about that one. We'll get to that in a minute. Honor your father and mother. What about husbands and wives? Uh-oh. Depends on which side of the equation you are, I would imagine. Would depend on which one of those passages you quote. Wives, be in submission to your husband. Wait a minute. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. Have you ever quoted Scripture? Did you catch the key word? At somebody. Is that what you're doing with the message of God's Word? What's your motive for telling someone else about Jesus? What's your motive for sharing the Word of God with someone else? To prove how good you are? To show them just how bad they are? I hope not. Our motive for sharing the gospel with others should be for their soul. Because we see a potential brother or sister in Christ that we hope to one day spend an eternity in heaven with. A message of love. Those are some things that bad stewards do with the Word of God. So how can you and I make sure that our conduct is the conduct of a good steward? One that can say to be found faithful in the sight of God. Well, a good steward, number one, is going to receive the Word of God with an open heart. Receive the Word of God with an open heart. In that parable of the sower, going over to Matthew 13, verses 8 and 9, some fell on the good ground and it yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Church, when you and I receive the Word, when that seed falls on our ears, when it falls into our mind, into our heart, what are we going to do with it? Now listen, this is a challenge. Are you ready? It's a challenge. I'm going to ask a question first. Is it enough for you to just be a Christian and to come to church and to do the things that God tells you to do and never tell the gospel to anyone else? Is that enough to be pleasing in the sight of God? Now, church, I don't think that it is. I don't think that it is. This good soil that the seed fell on, it didn't receive the seed and swallow it up and hold it, did it? The Bible says that soil received the seed and it produced fruit. When Marty goes out here in the spring and he sows his seed and he plants his crops, Marty, are you going to be happy if the soil just receives it and just holds it for you? That's not the goal of all that. Is if you need a place to deposit your seed, we can find somewhere better. But when you put it in the soil, you expect something to happen, right? And what's the something you expect? You expect something to come out of that soil. You expect there to be fruit. You expect there to be works of the, not flesh, works of the Spirit. God expects you and I, when we receive the Word, for us to be fruitful. Some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Go back to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. It's not required that you set a record. You don't have to win the Vacation Bible School Award for bringing the most visitors. You don't have to be the best. But you do have to be faithful. Faithful to do the works of the Lord and to try to bring others to Christ. To sow the seed that you've received. A good steward of the Word of God is one that is obedient to the Word. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says that we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. When we hear the Word of God and we believe it, we need to put it into action in our lives. We need to do the things that God tells us to do. One of the things that He tells us to do is to share the Word with others. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, admonishments made, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Church, you ever thought that the faithful men of today are the men in our audience this morning? That we are to be the faithful men that are able to commit to memory the things that Paul has told others and that we're supposed to tell others as well. It's what the Great Commission said to do, wasn't it? To go into all nations and to preach the Word of God, making disciples of men. If we're going to be good stewards of the Word of God, we've got to first receive it with an open heart. We've got to second be obedient to the Word and become Christians ourselves. And thirdly, we've got to share the Word with others. And finally, number four, if we want to be a steward that's found faithful before God, we must take a stand with the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 says to preach the Word and be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering or patience and teaching. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. And church, that's what it's all about. Being good stewards of the Word. The invitation this morning is this. It begins with the first part of what we just talked about. Have you received the Word of God? Have you heard it that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day, did so that you and I, while we're sinners, while we're guilty, can have the hope of a remission of our sins and the hope of an eternity in life? Have you received that Word? Have you heard that Word? If you have you been obedient to it? Are you one here this morning that knows what they must do to be saved but have never become a Christian, have never put on Christ in baptism for the remission of their sins? If you're in that category and today's the day that you want to make that change and make that distinction in your life, then there's no reason to wait any longer. Are you one perhaps that has heard the Word and believed the Word and repented of your sins, confessed Christ, put on Christ in baptism? One that's been obedient to the Word, are you sharing it with others? The Bible says to be found faithful, we've got to preach the Word, be able to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Are you preaching the Word? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? If not, and that's a change you need to make in your life, then I hope you make that change today. Are you one that's willing to take a stand with the Word to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Perhaps you've allowed sin to get into your life and you've become one who's more concerned about doing things the way the world would do it and the way that Christ would have you to do it. If there's some sin you need to repent of, ask forgiveness of, we'd pray with you and for you. God would forgive you and so would we. If you're here this morning and we could help you in any way at all, then please come while we stand and sing.